Welcome to the Thanksgiving recap from Simple Man Radio, where we recap all the Thanksgiving games, talk a little bit about that Monday Night Football game that was just crazy, and we preview five other games for Week 12. We're presented by Wegrin. We're hardworking, working for you so you have something to listen to when you're working on Friday after Thanksgiving. So, you know what? Be thankful for us, even though we're humble about it. All right. Now, what did Mama tell you?
Well, Mama told me. Sit beside me, my only son, and listen closely to what I say, and if you do this, it'll help you some sunny day.
All right, boys and girls, welcome to the Simple Man Radio Thanksgiving Day recap slash week 12 preview. We're the hardest working podcast in the world. We're recording night at 12:30. While every other podcast takes a day off, we're working hard to give you the greatest podcast in the world. And the Cowboys are back in first place in the NFC East. And I think they're going to stay there unless the Giants overtake them. But Dallas 31, Redskins 23. I think the biggest takeaway from this game was there's a lot of good celebrations, some mean ones. But I've continued to say all year that when Dallas takes the lead first, they control the game, and that's when they can play their offense. And we saw it with Zeke having 26 carries and with 121 yards. It lets Dak play a little more free. And Amari Cooper, he had one of those games where he just balled out, you know?
Right. Yeah, Amari Cooper, he made some grown man plays tonight, dude. Like, where DBs were just falling off of him and he was just acting like nothing and then would go sprint, down to the touchdown.
Yeah, that's who Amari Cooper is. Like, even with the Raiders, like, he had these games. He's like, man, this guy can be legit number one, count on him. And then he has games where he has like three catches for 19 yards and two drops. So it'll be interesting to see if he can be a little more consistent with Dallas, in that clear cut number one role. But no, Dallas looks good. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, even though this is his by far best statistical game, out of the games that I've watched, he's had some clutch moments where it's like, on third downs, he gets the conversions for him, pretty consistently, even though he's only been playing there a month.
Yeah, he runs – like, what separates him from, like, everybody else is he runs extremely crisp routes. And he's had drop problems, but, tonight he played well. He can continue to play well, especially, like I said, Dallas needs to keep running that rock. And that's what the Redskins didn't do. I think AP only had 12 carries. And Colt McCoy, who hasn't played in 3 years, had 38 passes, which when you're down, you have to do that. But he threw three picks, and Colt McCoy was he was rusty. He was out of it. And I just, like I said, Colt McCoy, he's nothing special. Although I was close to picking the Redskins because, my dumb brain is like, well, you remember that Monday Night Football game between the Redskins and Cowboys 5 years ago? Like, it could happen again, even though it's completely different teams.
I was thinking about picking the Redskins just for the lack of tape out on Colt McCoy.
Yeah, so Colt McCoy, great backup. Couple of things. Amari Cooper's celebration was just flat-out mean, making fun of Markelle Fultz with the pump fake free throw. That was mean. Like, it was funny. Amari Cooper is like the most low-key, like quiet guy. I was like, man, like, is Dallas turning Amari Cooper into a savage where he's just making fun of people with mental issues like Markelle Fultz? I just thought that was kind of mean.
Markelle Fultz retweeted it, though, like, and posted videos of his family laughing at it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was really crying inside.
Yeah, I know, right? That's just he's just acting tough for Jimmy Butler.
Well, he's probably never going to play with Jimmy Butler because his lawyer said, you shouldn't play anymore until I tell you to. So Markelle Fultz is done. But the best celebration was Trey Quinn with the Michael Scarn celebration.
Oh, yeah. Michael Scarn. You jump to the right and you shake that hand. And you jump
to the left and you shake that hand. You pull out some yarn.
Do a little do this. Grab a little yarn. That's how you do this scar.
My brother was like, oh, see, Trey Quinn did the star? I was like, what are you talking about? Listen, if the Redskins would have won, he would have been my Gruden grinder. Hands down, easy. I mean, the guy's white. He's Mr. Irrelevant. Had a touchdown, and he did the Michael Scarn. That's Gruden grind material. Unfortunately for you, Trey Quinn, Colt McCoy couldn't get the job done. And then Zeke was cheap, and he only gave $21 into the Salvation Army Fund. You know, that was pretty cheap of him. So, yeah, yeah, Zeke needs to be a better person. Maybe throw $1,000 in there. You're not doing enough, Ezekiel. No, but seriously, it was a good game. Let's move to the Bears. All right, so the Bears won 26-16 over the Lions. The Bears' defense is legit. Like, the Bears' offense did not play well. Like, yeah, Chase Daniel's stats, when you look at the box score, aren't bad. But he only averaged 6 yards per attempt. And, you know, Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen had never got going in the run game. And so, I mean, you know, obviously Trubisky was out, so it, you know, it makes things a little harder. That being said, the Bears, like I said, the Bears' defense is just legit. Eddie Jackson with another pick six. And the Bears move to 8-3, commanding lead in the NFC North. And it's looking like they're going to run away with this one, with this division.
Yeah, the Vikings and Packers play this weekend. So, I mean, the Packers are in third place, Vikings in second. So.
Yeah, they're going to tie again.
Yeah, that'd be funny if they did tie again. But I agree, the Bears are looking really good. I think Trubisky, when he can be on, you know, and provide just a little bit of offense, you know, they're a tough team to beat. And I actually kind of, you know, you say they're our stepchildren, and I find myself rooting for them more and more as the season's going along, because they're kind of like, you know, that underdog Cinderella thing. Got that Cinderella thing going on.
Yeah, I picked the Lions. Go, like, you know what? Let me be this, like, my different take. And I just thought Matthew Stafford would get it done at home. It's hard to beat a team twice, especially when you or missing your QB. But listen, the Bears got it done. They're looking great, mostly on defense. But the team that's looking like the top of the NFC, the Saints, 31 points over the Falcons, 17. I mean, what was your takeaway from this game?
Drew Brees is really good at football.
He is. Oh, it's confirmed. He's going to win MVP this year. I think that's pretty much like a done deal now.
If he doesn't win MVP, I think I'm going to be mad. Like I'm a huge Andrew Luck fan, and Andrew Luck's balling out this year, but I don't even think he comes close to the MVP discussion right now. Drew Brees is just playing on a completely other level. Yes. Even at 39 years old, like, it's him and Tom Brady. It's just like, when are these guys going to slow down? Like, you never know.
Yeah, shut up, Drew Brees. The Falcons just keep shooting themselves in the foot. I didn't say that word on purpose. How many fumbles did they have? They had like four or five fumbles.
That one that Julio Jones got was kind of ridiculous, though. They put him in a freaking windmill. He was running and he went to dive or something, and then one guy hit him like when he was in midair, and he did almost a complete 360 in midair, and the ball came flying out.
I mean, that was pretty awesome.
The Falcons are shooting themselves in the foot, and I'm starting to question whether Dan Quinn is going to be the head coach next year.
Is he on the hot seat? Oh, that reminds me. Do we have a QB controversy in Chicago? I was just joking because Chase Daniel's stats were better than Trubisky. But also I noticed that Alvin Kamara is rubbing off on Mark Ingram, because Mark Ingram has, like, he was always, like, really clean cut, like, always did the right thing. And now he's dancing and going, I don't want to be too loud, but he's turning Mark Ingram hood, and I love it. It's awesome. I want the Saints to go to the Super Bowl, one, because we have an interview lined up with the Saints if they do go. But, no, the Saints – I mean, the Saints look really good. I don't think they're unbeatable like a lot of people think, but they do look like the top of the NFC. And the Falcons, like – They're done, but they had, if you don't count Matt Ryan's 16 yards rushing, they had 10 yards rushing today. Like, you, yeah. Like, how do you like do that? That's unbelievable. Steve Sarkisian is the worst offensive coordinator in the world.
Dan Quinn is not on the hot seat. Steve Sarkisian is definitely on the hot seat. To go from the year that they had with Kyle Shanahan running the offense, then to completely just do a 180 to where their offense is just barely putting up points is ridiculous.
And yeah, I'm surprised they haven't fired him already. Speaking of lots of offense, I do want to talk about Monday Night Football a little bit. Obviously, everyone's seen the game. It was a great game. I just want to talk about the bad takes.
So sloppy, bro.
I want to talk about the bad takes on both sides. First, we have the people like Trent Dilfer coming out and saying, it was exciting, but that was bad football. It's like, come on, Trent. It was the two best offenses. They played great offenses. The defenses weren't nothing special, but it wasn't like the defenses were just like out there like not doing anything. I mean, I think there was like three or four defensive touchdowns. You know, obviously that doesn't turnovers don't make a defense good, you know. Right. good defenses have turnovers, but, you know, turnovers don't make a defense good.
The game was decided by defense. I mean, like, Patrick Mahomes threw, like four interceptions, I think, or something like that. Something ridiculous.
He had three picks and then, like, a fumble. So he had, like, four turnovers in total. But, I mean, it was awesome offense. And then we have people on the other side, like the two chicks from the WNBA on GetUp are saying, this is the new NFL. Welcome to the new NFL. This is going to happen. It's like, okay, let's calm down. This is one game against two of the best offenses we've seen in the past 5 years. Like, let's not, like, say this is the new NFL. Like, listen, definitely. The Bills are still in the NFL. And we've had games that, like, it wasn't even the highest scoring game ever. You know who the highest scoring game ever was? It was the Browns and the Bengals in, like, 2004. Guess who the starting QB was for the Browns?
Tim Couch.
Close. I guess Kelly Holcomb, who was the guy after Tim Couch.
Yeah. Jeff Garcia.
It was Jeff Garcia, dude. The Browns won like 55. I can't remember what the score was, but the Browns won that game. So it's like, okay, like, was the new NFL introduced in 2004? Like, I do understand, like, there's more scoring and stuff like that, but, like obviously the NFL is different, but don't tell me, like, this is the new NFL. We're going to have 55 to 52 games every single week. It's like, this is the only game like this all year. The only one you can compare was Saints-Rams, which, again, was two of the top three offenses in the league right now. And so, you know, and even that game, you know, you see those kind of games. You've seen those games forever. Yeah, maybe not in the 60s, but, like, I don't know. I just – both sides on this argument.
That's why the team was so hyped up, was because of these two offenses meeting at prime time, where they know that they could just rail off, jump on a train, and rail off 21 points like that.
What was cool, though, is, like, there was so much hype into this game. And, like, I, like, made sure to take a nap so I wasn't tired beforehand. And I was like, you know, there's so much hype, but it's probably not going to live up to it. But, man, it lived up to it and exceeded it. It was awesome, man. Like, it was one of the most fun I had watching a football game. But, like, on Get Up, Dominic, like, the girls in the NBA, like, this is what you need. Like, it's the NBA. You got to have more freedom of movement. And Dominic Foxworth, he got accused of mansplaining, even though he was just explaining. Saying, like, he's like, you think you know what you want, but you don't. He's like, this was a great game because it was an anomaly, because it doesn't happen. But if this happens every week, it's nothing special. It's just Big 12 football. And nobody, you know, nobody wants to watch that on a consistent basis. But I don't know. I think both sides were kind of really annoying on this one. That being said, it was a great game. We won't probably see a game like that with that much hype for another 10 years or so. So you can rest easy, Trent Dilfer. The Bills and the Jets are still playing good football.
Good football. Low scoring football.
Yeah. So let's get into the picks for week 13. We only got five games because we already had three on Thanksgiving. By the way, every day is Thanksgiving. Every day is Thanksgiving. Let's do this one first. Let's do yours. Dolphins at Colts. Dolphins 24 votes. Colts at 81. Zach, who do you got?
Tell you what, man, I'm going to go with the Colts on this one, namely because the Dolphins are traveling up to Indy, and even though we play in a dome, you know, it's going to be cold weather. Ryan Tannehill is coming back, so he's probably going to be a little rusty after sitting out for, I think, like 5 weeks or so. And the Colts are, you know, we're plowing through our competitors right now, man. We are, we got a lot of hype, a lot of momentum right now. And this game, albeit, you know, not within the division, this has a lot of playoff implications because the Dolphins and Colts are in a are part of the five-way tie for that second spot in the wild card in the AFC race. Tied up at 5-5, so winner of this, obviously, you know, is taking the race and loser. Not necessarily get knocked out, but significantly harder path to the playoffs.
Yeah, so definitely.
Both teams are going to be playing hard, and I think my Colts are going to pull it off in the end.
Yeah, I think the Colts are going to as well. They're going to continue that win streak. The Dolphins just aren't a good football team. They started out like 3-1. They've lost two out of their last six, or they've won two out of their last six. They're just not a good football team. Like I said, Tannehill might be coming back. It's in Indy. Andrew Luck is rolling, and I just see the Colts playing a little more desperate because they actually believe they can win, or I think the Dolphins don't believe in themselves. And so, yeah, I see Andrew Luck and the Colts winning. All right, let's do the next game. Let's do Seahawks at Panthers. This always seems like a big game when they play. The Seahawks got 46 votes. The Panthers got 55. And you know what? The Panthers, they're coming off a loss, a heartbreaking loss, and when they didn't make the two-point conversion. The Seahawks are on the road, and I just see the Panthers winning. I think Cam's going to pull it out. I think Russell Wilson will have some problems against those great linebackers that Carolina has, led by Luke Kuechly. And like I said, you know, the Panthers always seem to play a lot better coming off a loss, and they're fighting for that, you know, to stay in that number one wild card spot. So I'm going Panthers. Who do you got in this one?
Yeah, well, man, we agree again. I'm going to go with the Panthers as well because they've not only lost one last week, but they lost the week before to the Steelers, where they got blown out on Thursday Night Football. And I think that, and like you said, the Seahawks are traveling from the West Coast to the East Coast as a long trip, you know, and they're going back 3 hours and all that and everything that plays into that. Unless it's a 4 o'clock game, I'm not for sure. However, I do think the Panthers are due for a win. I like Cam Newton, even though he's got bad mechanics, as described by most analysts. However, I think they're going to pull it off and stay in the hunt for that top NFC wildcard spot.
Right on. All right, this game is a rematch of the highest scoring game in NFL history. Browns at Bengals. The Browns got 59 votes. The Bengals got 42. Who do you got in this one?
I'm going to go with the Browns, man. I think Baker Mayfield is going to keep his swag rolling on high with old buddy interim head coach, and just keep the momentum going, you know, and try to fight. You know, I think they're, you know, right now, like these teams where they sometimes you'll see where the season is tanked and the head coach is fired, and halfway through the team rallies behind the interim head coach. And I think that's what's going to happen here. And the Bengals, they just seem distraught. I don't think they got a lot of fight left in them.
Yeah, this was a tougher one for me. I think it's in Cincinnati. AJ Green is supposed to be back, and you know the Bengals played a close game with the Ravens, who I still believe are a good team, even though Lamar Jackson was playing. But you know Lamar Jackson played a good game. It's not sustainable to run 26 times, but you know it worked for a one game. So I think I've been against the Bengals, and now I've turned against them. That being said, I don't think the Browns are a great team either. And, you know, they have coaching problems, obviously, with Hugh and Haley been fired. And it's in Cincinnati, the Battle of Ohio, the rematch of the highest scoring game in NFL history. So I'm actually going to go Bengals with this one at home. All right, awesome. So the next game before we get to the game of the week, we got my Giants, 57 votes, at the Eagles, 46 votes. The fans go with the Giants because they are smart and beautiful and handsome and brave. And I'm going with the Giants as well because we are on a roll. We're going to continue this three-game win streak. The Eagles are trash. Everyone's seen it. They've been horrible the last couple of weeks. They can't do anything on offense. Carson Wentz sucks. Maybe they should bring in Nick Foles because, you know what, he won a Super Bowl MVP. Carson Wentz didn't. And like I said, the Giants are rolling. The offensive line's starting to play a little better. We signed this guard, Jamon Brown, off waivers a couple weeks ago, and he's actually been really good for us. Like, you know, if you're not a Giants fan, you don't know who the guy is, but he's been really good for us. Nate Solder has, you know, become a little more comfortable in the system, you know, with the 5-7-step drops where, you know, with the Patriots, it was, you know, mostly 3-step drops, 1-step drops. And so he's, you know, and that's, you know, as an offensive lineman, that's a huge adjustment, is going from, you know, 5-step drops to, you know, or 3-step drops to, you know, 5 and 7 steps, because you just have to set a whole different, you got to have more trust on your inside. So, yeah, the offensive line is getting better. And, I mean, that's the one position in all football where it truly gets way better throughout the season, you know, as they work together. The defense has been playing well. I see them, you know, getting in to Wentz. I don't think Vernon even played the last time these guys played. And, you know, like I said, the Giants are rolling. We're going to get our third game in a row. I'm going Giants. Who do you got in this one, Zach?
Would you say this is a do-or-die game for the Giants?
I'd say it's a – they need to win. You're not baiting me. You're not baiting me into saying I'm going to kill all the Giants if they lose.
You're not answering my question.
Yeah, because your question is going to implicate me in legal action. You're lucky the Colts won last week.
Well, I think this is a make or break for either team going into this. You know, the Eagles are on the downward slope, and the Giants are obviously on the upward slope. And being the NFC East is so vulnerable at the moment. You know, the Cowboys just took the number one spot at 6-5. You know, it's still anybody's race. If the Eagles could win, I mean, the Giants could win out and take the East, like you keep saying on Twitter. However, if they lose this one, it's over, in my opinion. I don't think they have a shot. So, I think the Eagles are going to pull it off. I think the Eagles are in the same situation to where if they lose, then this season is pretty much done for them. I think they're going to win this one and keep their hopes alive.
We crushed them.
Only to be crushed in the season.
You don't know that. You don't even know who we play next week, okay? So don't talk about like you. Game of the week, Sunday Night Football, Packers at Vikings. These teams are tight. Last time they played, they tied. Packers got 45 votes. The Vikings got 57. So the listeners go Vikings. Zachary, who do you got?
Where are they playing? They're playing in Lambeau, right?
No, they're playing in Minnesota.
I tell you what, man. If this is – I'm going to take the Packers anyway, but if this is in Lambeau, I was going to say Aaron Rodgers is probably going to have a field day with the Vikings. But however, I'm still going to stick with the Packers. Something about Aaron Rodgers when they push – you know, he's kind of like got that LeBron James thing going, like where they push his – whenever his back goes against the wall, he just kind of like dominates. And I think right now – although, albeit slim, their playoff hopes are still alive. I think they're going to pull off the victory with the Vikings in this one and kill the Vikings' hopes and dreams.
Yeah, I agree with you, like, pretty much on every front that, you know, the Packers' backs are against the wall. Aaron Rodgers has to perform. I do think the Packers will make the playoffs as a second wild card spot. I think the Vikings will miss out. The Vikings just have not been playing well. It's not like they've played good teams. I get that. But, like, all around, they just haven't been playing well. Kirk Cousins is not the truth, and he doesn't like that. Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing mad because his brother called him out. We'll save that for the show on Monday. But
yeah, it's pretty salty.
I know. It was messed up, but we're going to save that. So I'm going Packers. I just, you know, like you said, something about Aaron Rodgers when his back's against the wall, when everyone doubts him and counts the Packers out, he gets the job done. So I'm going Packers. So that was the last game, but we're going to give you guys a special pick. Phil versus Tiger today.
Ooh.
In the $9 million matchup. Zach, who do you got?
I know absolutely zero about golf. All I know is that Top Golf is fun. So I have no educated guess on who's going to win. But I like the way that they're, you know, amping this matchup between the two of them, you know, saying it's just fun. And honestly, like, $9 million is, like, not a lot of money to these guys, you know. So, like, it's not like they really care. But I think
they're giving it to charity, too. So, they don't care now.
Yeah, for real. I'm going to go with Tiger. I'm going to go with the old Tiger.
Well, boys and girls, we have a consensus because the listeners are on Tiger, and I'm going with Tiger, too. How can you not go against Tiger in a 1-1? They had the face-off, like the boxing face-off, and Phil broke and like, oh, this is funny. But Tiger was like, no, this ain't funny, homie. Like, I came to kill. I truly believe, like, Tiger, like, laughed it off afterwards. But, like, Tiger was, like, looking at Phil, was like, I'm going to dominate you, boy.
He's got a competitive spirit, man. He's like on, like, you know, he had a bad rap when he was younger for mate throwing a big fit whenever he, you know, the ball didn't land where he wanted or whatever. So he's super competitive. Like, I could see it all fun in games, you know, leading up to, you know, what they've been doing, you know, doing all this trash talk and stuff. And betting 1 million, 100,000, 200,000, or whatever. But he's competitive, so when they get out there on the course, I could see him, you know, amping it up and making it serious.
Yeah, definitely. All right, since it is Thanksgiving, even though you'll be listening to this the day after Thanksgiving, and you'll probably be working if you're listening to the day after Thanksgiving, which I'll be because I'm just a hardworking guy. Zach will probably be working too. I want us to say one thing that we're unthankful for, that we're not thankful for. So, Zach, do you have something, or do you need me to go first?
I am not thankful for love
bugs. Not thankful for what?
Love bugs.
Do you guys have love bugs there?
No. This is Florida.
I know. Florida. I was like, they traveled? Love bugs are the perfect example of why humans shouldn't try to be God, because we try and create this thing to kill mosquitoes, and instead we just have these bugs just banging it out all day and getting all over your windshield and bothering you while you're work, getting in the pools, which sucks. And
the 11th plague.
I mean, pretty stupid of humans to try and do that. So I am not thankful for Walmart opening Black Friday on Thursday. Fun little story. We called Walmart about 10 times today. It started out with something simple, just seeing if they're open, because we wanted to go buy some baseball gloves to play baseball. And it turned into about 10 calls going, hey, are you guys open today? Like, yes, we're open all day. All right, what time do you close? Oh, we're open all day. I was like, but it's Thanksgiving. So like, yep, the only day of the year we don't open is Christmas. I'm like, okay, well, I don't celebrate Christmas. So what time do you guys open? What time do you guys open? We're open all day. What time does Black Friday start? 6 o'clock today. Wait, you mean 6 o'clock tomorrow? Because tomorrow, it was just, like, it's not funny talking about it, but it was, it's a new Thanksgiving tradition for me is I'm going to be calling Walmart. And
call the same Walmart over and over, or like different Walmart?
Oh no, the same one. And then what was funny, I overheard my mom talking to like a couple of her friends, like, is Walmart open? I was like, you need to call them and ask right now, Mom. And she
That's funny.
All right. Good show. I mean,
yeah, that's fun.
I'm thankful. You guys should be thankful for us for recording on Thanksgiving night at 1 o'clock in the morning when I should be sleeping. I regretted doing this because, you know what? I shouldn't be recording. I have work tomorrow. But you know what? I'm not going to talk about me. Listen, I'm humble. I'm going to stay humble, bro. But anyways, that's the show. Oh, and we're thankful for our military. Even though I like to joke and make fun of Zach and say that, I don't know. But we are thankful for you, Zach, to be a little bit real for a second. And that's enough. I need to say something bad about you to cancel out the compliment I just gave you. So... You're weird, okay? So
cool. I like it. I can take that.
How about that? All right, that's a show. Happy Thanksgiving, giving thanks. We'll see you guys on Monday.
See you on Monday.
Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes. The flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago, somebody left with the cup. Striving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone. All alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.